There's a conversation today that I think is severely lacking and needs to be addressed. And that's the topic of compound growth. Now, on the surface, most people would acknowledge they know what compound growth is. It's earning interest upon interest. And while that's true, what's lacking is that compound growth has different attributes in different phases of our life. And we need to take it a little bit deeper in order to fully grasp compound growth, so that we can apply it to our lives in the various stages. And ultimately, this is important because it's going to help us be more efficient with how we spend our time. Otherwise, we run the risk of just running around, being so distracted and confused by financial media, pointing us in various directions, and it's competing for our attention. I'd like to emphasize how important this conversation is for all investors. People who are in their 30s can benefit from this conversation just as people in their 70s. So having a deep grasp of these principles of compound growth can be extremely beneficial and help you answer some of the toughest questions in your financial plan. Here's some examples of financial planning questions I've received this week from clients. One question I got from a young couple asking about how much they should contribute to their 401k. Another question I got for folks in their mid-50s asking how much should they prioritize making extra payments on their mortgage. Another client I got from somebody that's just about to retire was, what's the right mix of stocks and bonds in their portfolio? I had another client ask about how much they can pull money from in their portfolio in retirement. Now, these are all common questions and they're important. And while they are different, the answer to these questions can be derived from a simple understanding of how compound growth works in the different phases of our lives. So that's what we're going to talk about on today's podcast. Now, as a disclaimer, everything we talk about today is for educational purposes only. I'm going to be a little bit broad in terms of running calculations for time and rates of return. So this is just meant to paint a picture for you about the laws of finance, not to give you any recommendations. Of course, investing involves the potential risk of loss, and you need to consult your advisor on your unique financial plan. Also, I want to acknowledge that I wanted to make this as condensed as possible, but it's difficult to do so. And because this is so important, I encourage you to hang with me throughout the duration of this podcast because it'll be really worth it. Let's get into the meat of our conversation today. I call this the three phases of compound growth. And I articulate it this way. Phase one of compound growth is when you have between $0 and $500,000 in your investments and retirement accounts. Now, just to be clear, I do not include home equity in this calculation. Phase two of compound growth is when someone has between $500,000 and $2 million in their investments and retirement accounts. Phase three of compound growth is when someone has between $2 million and $5 million in their investments and retirement accounts. Now, you may be thinking, John, where did you come up with these numbers? And I'll tell you, while there is academic research that underpins this conversation, to be frank, I created these numbers and these brackets. And really, they're based on over 12 years of conversations as a certified financial planner with hundreds of clients trying to address their financial planning goals and needs. And so it really comes from my experience. And the dollar amounts are attributable to how money works in 2023. And because of inflation and the market growth rate assumptions, that changes over time. So this might not be as applicable in 2053 as it is today. So I just like to acknowledge that we can take these numbers with a grain of salt and you can apply it to your unique situation, but the fundamental principles will always stay the same. So let's dive into it and talk about phase one of compound growth and some of the attributes that are attributable to this phase and what investors should be focused on when they're here. Again, phase one is when someone has between $0 and $500,000. Age isn't always relevant, but let's use age as a proxy and say this could be for investors between age 25 to age 40. They're generally in the earlier parts of their career. They're wanting to buy a house and have families and start saving in the 401k. And they've got competing demands just like the rest of us. But the demands are different in this phase of life. Now, the questions that I'm getting from clients at this time typically look something like this. Hey, John, I know I need to save for retirement. How much should I put away in my 401k so that I'm on the right path? Well, answering this question, we can first look to academic research that addresses this question. And academics suggest that an average investor that's in their 30s that earns around $150,000 in today's income should save about 15% of their pre-tax income in order to have enough to support their lifestyle and retirement. Of course, there's lots of assumptions there, but let's roll with that for the right now. If a family has $150,000 of income, 15% of that would be saving $22,000 per year. Now, to go further in this example, let's pretend an investor in their early 30s has just $100,000 saved in their 401k. Let's pretend they're in an aggressive investment mix and their portfolio appreciates 8% per year. We'll just use that because it keeps the mental math easy. So how much did their portfolio go up just from the stock market? 8% on $100,000 would be $8,000 in growth. It's nice, but it's certainly not going to get you to $1 million anytime quick. Now, at the same time, if they use the academic research and they were to save $22,000 in their 401k or their investment accounts, and you can include company match in that, $22,000 is more than double, it's almost three times what the market can give you in terms of investment growth. So here's the important point. So at the beginning of year one, let's say this investor has $100,000. Let's say the market gives them $8,000 of growth. They put in $22,000 of contributions that's added to their principal. At the end of the year, they'd have $130,000. Well, both helped, but what really moved the needle was their savings and their contributions and the company match. This can be even more dramatic for families that have dual income. So why is this so important? The point is, what really moves the needle is what researchers call your human capital, which is just a fancy way of saying your ability to earn income and increase your income, thereby increasing your ability to save into your retirement accounts. That's what's really going to move the needle and push you in the trajectory towards financial independence in the long haul. Another way to say it, it's extremely difficult for your investments alone to grow yourselves out of phase one. $100,000 compounding at an average 7.2% will double in 10 years. But if you were to contribute $22,000, you'd double in about 3 years. Now, I think we're starting to get the picture and we can move on to phase two here, but I just want to emphasize one further point, and that is this. There's so many competing demands in phase one, things like paying off student loans, paying off cars, paying more principal to a home, having fun and spending on our lifestyle. And while all of these might have their place and can be talked about within the context of a unique financial plan, they just need to be balanced against how important it is to get money into an IRA or a 401k or an investment account as early as soon as possible. Because ultimately, that's the building block or the engine that's going to grow your portfolio and push you into the further stages of compounding. So let's segue and keep going on our discussion and talk about phase two of compound growth. This is when investors have between $500,000 to $2 million in their investments and retirement accounts. Again, age isn't always perfect here, but we'll use an example of investors between age 40 to age 60. Some of the unique attributes of phase two of compound growth is that investment growth starts to take over as becoming more important as opposed to savings, which is almost the opposite of phase one. Another factor that we didn't hit on much before is that of our asset allocation or our mix of stocks and bonds, essentially how risky your portfolio is. This becomes a much more important factor in understanding how your portfolio moves in phase two of compounding. Whereas in phase one, you could essentially be as aggressive as possible because the risk of loss might be able to be offset either by investing for a long time horizon or just offset by your ongoing savings every single month. Now that starts to really change in phase two, and we need to be more delicate with how we're handling the risk tolerance. Let's give an example of a client of mine that's in their 50s. And I actually want to use a real life example here because this client that I'm thinking of, they have about $1 million in their portfolio. And a few years ago, prior to COVID, this client was in a C-suite level job. They were earning over $250,000. they were making a sizable contribution to their 401k and receiving some company match. So in total, they were saving about $35,000 per year. Their portfolio wasn't as aggressive as they were in their younger days, but they still had a growth-oriented portfolio. So just as an example, that million-dollar portfolio was growing around 7% per year. And on $1 million, that equates to about $70,000. So at the beginning of year one, with $1 million, through their investment growth of 7% or $70,000, plus their 401k contributions of about $35,000, their portfolio went from $1 million to about $1.1 million. Now, some of the conversations we had at this time was that my client was frustrated. He wasn't able to save into his 401k because he's out of work. And that's a completely understandable sentiment. But if we go deeper and understand the reality of phase two of compound growth, while it would have been nice for this client to save into their 401k, it's not detrimental to their situation, at least for a short period of time. Now, that's really important because it helps to take some of the stress off our conversation. Once they were able to understand that the $1 million was going to grow potentially anywhere between $70,000 to $80,000 or more without them even making contributions, it helped paint a clearer picture of still being able to reach their long-term financial independence goals because so much of the growth was coming from the year-over-year change in the market. Now, another tool in this person's toolbox, and this isn't right for everybody, but it could be to increase their risk profile to a more aggressive allocation of stocks in hopes of getting a higher rate of return during the years where savings and contributions just wasn't possible. Now, I'd like to switch gears and talk about another client case study I have. It also helps to emphasize the qualities of phase two of compound growth. Now, this client is in their mid-50s. They had about $1.5 million in their retirement accounts. They had a specific goal of really wanting to pay off their mortgage by the time of retirement in the next few years. And so they asked, how much should they be prioritizing towards mortgage debt versus contributing to their 401k? Now, they still had $600,000 on their mortgage, and their normal monthly payment was about $4,000. So they were on track to pay off their mortgage in about 15 years. Through our analysis and conversation, they felt they could actually redirect some of what was going towards their 401k and make extra payments, upwards of $2,500 per month extra towards their mortgage. That would actually save them more than 7 years and help them pay off their mortgage in almost 8 years. Now, this was also supported by the fact that even moderate growth on $1.5 million in savings could be over $100,000 per year. So their portfolio could still grow while they start to reduce making contributions to their 401k. Of course, they made enough to get a company match, but instead redirected their income towards paying off the mortgage. Now, that's an awesome way of being able to understand compound growth and apply it uniquely to this person's financial plan. It helps them achieve growth rates to get to an important number where they can have income in retirement. And it also helps them focus more on paying off their mortgage so they don't have any debt in retirement. Now, we've covered a lot of ground, but we still have one section left. So let's round out our conversation about talking about phase three of compound growth. And this is for investors that have between $2 million and $5 million. And generally speaking, we see this for investors between age 60 and age 80. Some of the attributes that are unique to phase three is generally that our human capital is almost completely gone, meaning our ability to earn income or higher income and work and save is dwindling down and people start to transition into retirement. And that's natural. So researchers call this a switch between our human capital potential to our investment capital potential. And what this really means is that what moves the needle from year to year on a person's net worth or income statement really has to do with what they have saved and how they've crafted their investment mix. And on this side of the spectrum of compound growth, because our investments are so important in our year-to-year fluctuation, most investors start to think of this as a preservation phase or a time where they really need to understand the year-by-year fluctuations, understand what they're comfortable with, and also what type of income they're trying to achieve in retirement so they can come up with the right mix of investments. Let's take an example of a 70-year-old couple that has $3 million in their retirement investment accounts. Pretend for our conversation's sake that this 70-year-old investor had all of their $3 million in the stock market, which of course wouldn't always be advisable. I just want to paint a picture here. So this 70-year-old client, if they had all their $3 million in the stock market, now if we use last year's market returns in 2022, the broad market was down about negative 20%. Now equating it to dollars, that would have been a hit of $600,000, taking this portfolio from $3 million to $2.4 million. Now, for conversation, let's assume this investor needed money from their portfolio for living expenses. Let's pretend they took $100,000 for living expenses, taking it even further down to $2.3 million. Of course, while the market could recover and likely will over a long period of time, it's obvious this type of downside volatility, not only would it be concerning, it can be actually be very damaging to an investor's long-term trajectory of financial independence. Because deriving dividend and interest income and taking withdrawals from a $2.3 million portfolio is significantly different than taking withdrawals from a $3 million portfolio. In order to protect against volatility, investors need to think about how much income they need to generate and crafting their portfolio just to hit that marker, which might mean having a lot more in bonds, CDs, or money markets, which is even easier to do now as interest rates are so much higher compared to where they were a few years ago. This way, investors can focus on their potential of hitting their yearly income needs while protecting their downsides and preserving their principal for the long haul, so long as that's their goal. Well, we've covered a lot of ground. Let's take a quick recap and wrap up. While investors are familiar with the terms of compound growth, it's critical to have an in-depth understanding of how compound growth can be applied differently throughout the phases of our life. Earlier in our life, when we have less than $500,000, it's incredibly important to be proactive and save in order to build our portfolio. And it's this time in our life where we need to be aggressive. We should be careful not to focus on picking individual stocks or hanging our hat on any one investment, because we know that getting out of phase one doesn't really come from investment returns, it comes from saving. And especially as we get into the preservation phase, becomes extremely important. Our contributions, relatively speaking, matter a little bit less, and that frees us up to direct our income towards other priorities like saving for college tuition or paying down a mortgage or pursuing hobbies and activities. And our portfolio starts to dominate the year-over-year change in growth potential. So the next time you're faced with a question about your finances, I encourage you to step back and think about what's really going to move the needle in your situation year by year. Is it your earnings potential and your savings potential? Or is it your investment portfolio and the market growth? And ultimately, this discussion might help you answer your questions and help you reach your financial goals. Do you have a question about your financial plan? I'd love to provide assistance. While I work with investors in any life stage, I oftentimes gravitate towards working with investors who are age 50 and older with over $1 million in their portfolio, who are looking for clarity on their financial and investment plan. You can reach out to me directly at john.chapman@wpwm.com. And with that, happy investing.